Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Is your vehicle stopping like it should? Does it squeal or grind when you brake? Don't miss out on summer brake deals at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Well, they've been ordered by the pensions regulator to suspend all processes to sell off 60% stake in four top hotels following public backlash. Now, the Social Security and National Insurance Trust, SNIT, may have complied, but has not stopped in its strong belief that that particular decision was justified and has been defending that decision today. Today, the scheme has been mounting a fresh defense of that decision despite the public opposition as it reveals it had to pump more than 200 million cedis in worker pension funds in the desperate attempt to save the hotels. I want you to listen to the SNIT's Director General, Kofi Bosompane Mustafa-Mafo, who has been speaking at the news conference today.
Consistent losses by almost all of our hotels. I know you are aware that Labadi does make a profit, but the returns are below par. They haven't paid us any dividends, with the exception of Labadi. Labadi Beach Resort only started paying dividends for the last 2 years. They haven't from inception. We've been called in to fund capital expenditure and maintenance expenditure and even SNIT contributions of the workers. In fact, a group of the hotels cannot even afford their auditors' fees. And so, accounts since 2018 haven't been audited. And if you put all of that together, what we have to do is to take action. And that's what we are seeking to do. So those are the hotels. Can we have the next slide? Let's look at the track record of these hotels. And I liken it to you having a business or an asset sitting there that is not earning you any money. And every year, if it's worth 100 cedis, the business comes to you and says, put in an extra 10 cedis. Or it's worth 100,000 and says, put in an extra 10,000 every year. And you are not being paid any dividends. The business may even owe you in terms of loans. The reality is that any rational investor or business person would be better off divesting the business and putting it somewhere else. And so for us, we are looking to do exactly that, which is to improve the returns in our portfolio. We can simply not keep throwing money into it. So if you look at that table, it gives you what the five-year average profit after tax is. You can see a lot of negatives in there. You can see that they haven't paid dividends, with the exception of Labadi in the last 5 years. Significant losses in La Palma and Ridge Royal. And indeed, the others that make profits, they are not significant.
And my colleague Kenneth JC was at that press conference and joins me in the studio now. And Kenneth, you're beginning to learn a bit more, some specifics that SNIT itself is putting out today about the performance of the four hotels in question, including the Labadi Beach Hotel. What have we learned today? One of the key things that jumped out when the DG was speaking today was how much money he says they've spent over the last few years to try and save these hotels.
Right, and that is more than 200 million Ghana cedis. But try as they have, it hasn't been able to be successful. And then they've looked at the performances of the hotels. They've talked about the performance of La Palme Royal Beach Hotel, for instance, which they say made losses in 11 out of the past 14 years, and it has not paid dividend in all its years of operations. Outstanding, including SNIT contributions, that is the returns and debts, an average return on equity of minus 4.2% between the years of 2012 to 2017. And then they have the performance of Elmina Beach Resort, which has also made losses in 9 out of the past 14 years. It has not paid dividend in its years of operations, and the average return on equity for Elmina Beach Resort is negative 4.8% for the period of 2010 to 2017. And it appears that Labadi Beach Hotel is the best performing out of those hotels, because they've paid or they've made losses in just 2 out of the 14 years that they have been in operation. They have also continuously been paying their dividends. And then we have the performance of Ridge Royal Hotel, which has also made losses in all 8 years of its operations. And then they say that Ridge Royal Hotel has not paid dividend in its years of operation. And then the return on equity is also negative 33.1%. They say the average return on equity for Ridge is that figure for the period of 2016 and 2017, and has had a negative shareholders equity position since. So these are the financial positions and performances of the four hotels.
Now, as far as the Labadi Beach Hotel is concerned, something caught my attention. There's some discrepancy between what the DG said when he was actually presenting the slides and what is in the slides. Because yes, if you pay attention to what he said, he said the Labadi Beach Hotel has only paid dividends in 2.
Yes.
In its history.
Yes.
In 2 of its 14-year history. Listen to him make the points there about all the hotels and how much they've tried to put in to try and save them.
And again, just to highlight, a significant amount of money has already been pumped into that. Well over 200 million has been put in the GBH hotels with no return in sight. Let's start looking at the hotels individually. And again, it's just worth noting for the GBH hotels, and starting with La Palme, the history is relevant because, to start with, we injected a significant amount of capital. When we sum it to date, I think it's coming close to well over 230 million in shareholder loans and capital spent on the hotels. None of that has yielded anything to us. If we look at the profitability, the dividends, the returns, there's nothing to write home about. 11 out of the last 14 years, La Palme hasn't been profitable, has not paid us any dividend, and again, they are struggling. Average return is minus 4.2% in the period preceding the decision to divest of our 60% stake. If we look at Elmina, the picture is not that different. Indeed, it's 9 out of the last 14 years has not paid us a dividend. The money we put into that really hasn't earned us any returns. The returns are negative over the period preceding the decision to divest of our 60% share. If we do Busia Beach, it's the same. No dividends, losses in most of the years, and returns negative, indeed minus 31.7 for the period 2010 to 2017. It puts everything into real perspective and why we would want to improve it with private investment. Ridge Royal, again, the picture is similar. And for the short period, returns that we've owned it, returns are negative. Consistent losses by almost all of our hotels. I know you are aware that Labadi does make a profit, but the returns are below par. They haven't paid us any dividends, with the exception of Labadi. Labadi Beach Resort only started paying dividends for the last 2 years. They haven't from inception.
They haven't from inception. And that's the bit there that seemed to contradict what is in the slides that we have. And that needs some clarity there as far as the position of the DG on this is concerned. But there was also an issue they took with the former chairman of the governing New Patriotic Party. He had gone public and actually said that his son had put in a bid of $200 million, which will be way in excess of what Brian Champon, who we know won that particular bid, had put in. SNITS DG had something to say about that.
Well, first of all, the company is Spartan IVs Limited, and they say that the company belonging to Mr. Freddie Blaise's son was one of the six companies that submitted the bids. Now, the companies submitted technical and financial proposals in separate sealed envelopes. After submission of bids, the technical proposals from the companies were opened first, and an evaluation panel reviewed the proposals. Now, the evaluation panel then submitted an evaluation report to the Entity Tender Committee, and the Entity Tender Committee approved the technical evaluation report before financial proposals from the companies could be opened. And now they say that it did not even get to the final stage because it did not meet its qualifying mark of 50 and above mark, because the presence of representation of the successful companies were not found. So they did not even get to assess their financial strength. So that figure that is being quoted was not even considered in the first place.
At all. And Freddie Blaise himself, we tried to reach him today on the back of what the SNIT Director General has been saying. He has declined to comment further on the matter, but he made that very, very forcefully. But the DG also was very forceful in making the point that that wasn't accurate.
The claim that has been made that by Mr. Freddie Blaise that his son's company, Spartan Ives, bid $150 to $200 million and SNITS turned it down. Again, that can't be substantiated. And I want to take you through the process and Spartan Ives' involvement with the trust. The way the process works is as follows. This process was on that the procurement methodology was a cost and quality basis. What that means is that we assess the technical and financial proposals that you bring. First, you bring your technical proposal. You submit that, everyone does. The proposals are opened in front of everyone. They go to an evaluation panel. It is scored. Once it is scored and you get past the pass mark, we then assess your financial proposal. That is the process, and that is what the law requires us to do. We did exactly that. Spartan Ives did not get past that stage. Their technical proposal was weak. They scored below the required 50%. And so their financial proposal was not even assessed.
And SNIT also now has put out the specific financial proposals that they got in relation to each of the hotels from the three top bidders, including Rock City, and indeed Spartan Ives isn't included in that list. But let's go through that because it gives us a breakdown that we haven't seen in the conversations we've been having since the story broke. Let's take Labadi Beach Hotel. It was Rock City, Yau Ado, and Luxor. Now let's go through how much money they both bid for Labadi Beach Hotel.
Right. It's important to note that in all four bids, Brian Champon's Rock City Hotel had the highest bid. So we're beginning from the Labadi Beach Hotel. They bid $29.4 million. Now, Yau Ado also bid $18 million. Luxor bid 9.36 million US dollars. And of course, it went to Rock City. Now, if you come to La Palme Royal Beach Hotel, Rock City bid 21 million US dollars. Yau Ado bid 13.15 million US dollars. Luxor bid 5.9 million US dollars. And the offer went to Rock City Hotel. Ridge Royal Hotel and Elmina Beach Resort only had Rock City bidding. And then with Ridge Royal Hotel, Rock City bid 8.4 million US dollars. And then with Elmina Beach Resort, they bid 2.4 million US dollars. So the total bid is 61.2 million US dollars.
Okay. I want to bring in organized labor reps now into the conversation. No, they have taken a strong position on this particular matter. We now know, and Kenneth, another key thing that we know happened a couple of weeks back is the pensions regulator issuing a directive to SNIT to suspend all processes leading to the sale of the shares in the four top hotels. Did they clarify if indeed they've complied?
Well, they have indeed complied. So they've suspended the sale of the hotel. So as it stands now, negotiations are on hold. They say they are engaging all stakeholders to try and explain to them why they need to sell these hotels, because they are not making enough profit for them.
Okay, so engaging stakeholders definitely will include organized labor fundamentally. I want to bring in Abraham Kumsing. He's the Secretary General of the Ghana Federation of Labor. Also joining me is Abdullah Mashoud, is Executive Director of the Africa Center for Retirement Research and Pensions Expert. Also, Mr. Kumsing, thanks for your time here on Top Story. We just listened to the SNIT press conference today. SNIT is still defending its decision to sell these top hotels, 60% in these top hotels. They now have given us some numbers, as they put out at the press conference, that they've so far spent 200 million cedis to try and save these hotels, and that they cannot continue to leak that much. And that amount, by the way, is funds that they collect from yourselves and your members, pension funds that they can't put to other uses. And that is why they have to sell them off. Are you convinced now, having listened to them, that...
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
There is a justifiable reason to sell them off?
Anyway, this whole thing is funny because I don't know whether you've read the transaction advisor's report. I've read it. Unfortunately, I'm not in office now. And it was very clear that the purchase arrangement, the sale arrangement or whatever, is not going to favor NIT. Because the payment schedule is not good. Now, that aside, why is NIT bent on selling that 60% share? Is it about recapitalization? Is it that they don't have money to inject into the facility or what?
They have an answer for you today, that they've already spent 200 million cedis into this, trying to save the hotels, and they can't do it anymore.
Evan, please. If it is mismanagement, what is the problem? Alisa Hotel, just about a year ago, they have established the branch in Kemaye. Go and see the facility there. Look at ex-president Kufuor's hotel. So what is the problem? I don't know. What is the problem? Is it mismanagement? If it is mismanagement, why don't you sack the management team and employ new people? Advertise. And make sure you do due diligence and employ somebody who has the capacity, who have the expertise to be able to run the facility. Because I just can't understand. Why are they so bent on selling this hotel? Look at the location of this hotel. Very strategic. Tourists prepare, using these places for relaxation and so on. Other things. I can't understand. I've spoken this morning. I've spoken about this thing. And look, organize the bar, close the forum, made up of the nurses, the teachers, the civil servants, they held a press conference last week. And they said, no, GFL, we have issued a statement. Even TUC itself are not in favor. So what is it? Is it that what is going to happen? Is heaven going to fall down? What is it? Why is that they are bent on selling this facility? For what? Well, it is about mismanagement. Why can't they sack the managers there and employ people who can operate the system? Why? What is it? If it's about money, snake, they don't lack funds. Every month, if any employer defaults, you are in trouble. You'll be dragged to court. You'll pay penalties. Even this time around, informal sector, economy, the carpenters, some farmers, they are all come on board. So what is it? Why did they want money or what? If they want money, if they want to float theater, it might be very open. Not that you advertise this thing in international whatever, then you sometimes some of these things, you know, it won't fly. I blame the people who were appointed to represent organized labor. Because this discussion started from 2018, 6 years now. And they did not bring to our attention some of these things. Otherwise, we would have stopped it. Wrong time.
Well, Mr. Kumsi, they've made the point today that, yes, they've suspended the processes leading to the sale, but they've done so because they want to consult stakeholders. They will be consulting yourselves.
It's better.
Yes.
It's better they have put it on hold. So yes. We'll see.
When they sit with you to consult you, your position is what?
We are not selling anything. We are not selling it. If they can't manage it, they should sack themselves. They should remove themselves from power. We will get people to come and run the place profitably.
When you say you mean organized labor?
Yes, organized labor. I'm speaking on behalf of labor. I don't think that any member, any stakeholder of labor will come out and say that we can tell you. I don't think that those if anybody dares, any organized labor dares to say that we agree, I'm telling you, the next time the workers will march from their village. They shouldn't try. Some of us are even being accused of what? Compromise. So they shouldn't do that. They shouldn't do that. Otherwise, we will send them to from enterprise to enterprise. We'll go throughout the country, all the regions, to go and meet the workers one on one and explain this to them. Explain this to them why they want to sell it. Why do they need money?
You've made the point that if they can manage it, organized labor will. But if you consider how much it's taken them to try and turn it around, it has failed. Do you have what it takes to run the facilities, considering what we've heard from SNIT today?
What went wrong? What happened? Why have we come to this stage? What happened? Is it gross mismanagement? We even don't know why Dr. Tinkwen was sacked. Was it about the same thing? What happened? They shouldn't politicize these things. They should leave politics out of this. They should leave politics out of this. We don't care whether Brian Temple, that is not the issue. Our issue, we don't know law. We don't know about conflict of interest. We are not talking about that. What we are saying is that, please, do not sell this facility. Don't do it. The ILO has written, and they are saying that, ILO, what they wrote is nothing. What do they mean? Do they know the capacity of ILO? Yeah, the integrity of ILO. And we are saying that, look at this staff there. Their managers or CEOs, they said, don't mind ILO. On your platform, I don't want to use some insulting words. But even,
please,
we are not going to sell it. We won't sell it.
Please don't. And last week when we heard from the pensions regulator that they should suspend, today they've confirmed that they have complied fully with that. As far as the organized labor plan was concerned, and I know you were going to roll out a series of actions across the country, including protests and possibly withdrawing services, that has been shelved, has it not?
Oh, because of the NPRA letter that they wrote. So we are meeting among ourselves, and also we are closely monitoring the strategy that they have adopted. Perhaps they think we'll go back and go and sleep, and so that they can do whatever they want to do. So we are wide awake. We will not sleep. We will take tablets that will keep you very awake to make sure that things don't pass behind us. So I can assure you that, look, it's not that we want to. We are being difficult. It's not that. But it's not right. How can you sell such facility? Even the frontage crowd, the front side crowd, look at the amount of money that Freddie Blaise sent off it. Look at it.
Well, they have
they have
rejected that claim by Freddie Blaise that they've offered $200 million. They said that's not true.
But you see, Ivan, you look for the. I know you have a copy, the transaction advisors report. You see what is in it. They have advised SNIT that they should be very careful. I mean, you know, going away with this passing away this 60% shares to somebody. We are not interested in the politics, that conflict of interest. That's not the area we are going. We are saying that they shouldn't sell it. They shouldn't sell it. They should wait. They should hold on until we ourselves are satisfied that what they want to do is justified. And I don't think they can be justified in any way. The only justification is that, look, the managers of these companies, these hotels, are not competent. Let us advertise and employ a very competent person, knowledgeable person, to run the place. And if you interview people, those who pass the test, okay, you give them, put them on probation for 3 months, 4 months, 5 months, or 6 months, and assess their performance, whether they can do well. Then you put them there. Tell them, we want this thing for you. If you are not able to do it within the month, within 3, 4, 5 minutes, they fire you. That's what should happen.
And very briefly, you've indicated that organized labor, you've been meeting. What have you decided to do with your representation on the SNIT board?
But we need more time to do. But last week, the forum made up of the nurses, the teachers, the civil servants, they had a press conference. And I saw Joy, I was there, and I saw Joy, you know, media guys over there, they covered it, and what they are saying is, no, we shouldn't sell it. Nagas have also come out. GFL have also come out. So who again? So I don't think that they will ignore these protestations and then go ahead and sell it. Why do we even demonstrate? And when we demonstrated, look at how the police even treated us. Firing tear gas on us. What did we do? What did we do wrong? Demonstrating in a country like Ghana, it becomes a crime. We were not violent. We were not holding any missiles, weapons, whatever. Nothing. Then the police opened this thing. That's how they want things to be done. Okay? We'll prepare ourselves.
And that there is Ibrahim Kumsing, is the Secretary General of the Ghana Federation of Labour. As you may have noticed, the SNIT also took on Freddie Blaise. He's told us tonight that he doesn't want to engage on that subject any longer. But SNIT is still defending the decision to sell off the four top hotels. You've heard the justification now. Share your thoughts with me, 055-1111-997.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.